we pray? Is that all right? God, I want to thank you for all that you give us, all that you've done for us. Thank you for the life that you've given to us, that we're reminded of today through communion. Lord, I just ask that as we participate in this time of reflecting on your word, what you had to say, and what that says to us, just open our hearts and our minds to your words. Allow work within us to change us, make us new. Make us more the person you want us to be. Thank you. Amen. Now, I'm feeling a little bit uneasy. I said it in the first service, and I still feel uneasy about this. Because it's been my dubious honour to finish off the series of Work in Progress that I feel like Glenn has done an amazing job with. There's so many, if not so many, every week, it's given me something to think about how I work with and how I treat other people. The way I talk to them, especially my children. Especially after last week, when he was talking about not pushing your pearls. I've got lots of wisdom to impart to my children. I'm not sure how much of it's wanted most of the time, but that's okay. So Glenn has been taking us through dangerous words. We're a work in progress. We still have the slow sign. We're not stopping today. We're just slowing. But I want to just cast our mind back and revisit some of them a little bit. Now, Glenn wouldn't agree with me on this, but I still think the first week of this series was actually the week when he was talking about the Lord's Prayer. When he was talking about forgiveness. And that he picked up on the Lord's Prayer, and it's just got that little line, forgive us as we forgive others. But then Jesus thought that was so important that he revisited it just afterwards, didn't he? And he unpacked it, that if the measure that you use to forgive someone will be used against you, will be used on you. If you forgive someone, then God will forgive you. It's challenging. So we've been challenged to forgive. To forgive people from the hurts they've caused us, for the things they've done to us. So the first week was forgive. The second week was, I don't know. No. Was that the second week? Yeah, I was a little bit worried that I might have forgotten. I was going to say that and give you a hint, but it was worry. Don't worry. And what was the key part of that? It was live in the present. Don't worry about what's happened, the things that you might have done, the things that might have been done to you. Don't worry about what might happen in the future, because you're not going to change either end. Just worry about now. Live in the present. Enjoy it for what it is. Now, I also do understand that sometimes the present, for some of us, isn't very enjoyable. But what Jesus is asking us to do is be here. Especially right now, be here in church. Open yourself up to experience what God has to say, what he's saying to you through the songs, communion, whatever it is. Be here. And then the next one is, do not judge. And that extends more to than just judging. It's about what judging is. It's about putting values on someone. Looking at what they've done and saying, you are whatever. In the case of the woman brought to Jesus in adultery, they were saying, you are an adulteress. You are worthless. That is everything that you are. And when we judge someone, that's exactly what we're saying. We're saying, all you, the sum of everything that you are is this. It's not our job to do that. Yes, we can assess what someone has done, but our job isn't to devalue them to one thing or a couple of things, because everyone is worth so much more than what they've done. And then the next one follows on from judging, and that was about eyes. I've only got specks in mine. No planks. So I can see your specks. No. And this is about seeing the speck in someone else's eye. And the challenge in that was about God maybe saying to you, you have some things to work on. Forget about the other person. And part of that is about the judging stuff. Deal with your own stuff first. Be here and now. Be in the present and deal with your own stuff. Have a good look at yourself first. And then last week, what was the word for last week? Can anyone tell me what it was? No. I couldn't work out what the word was last week either. But what I came up with two. Good advice. Don't give good advice, especially when it's not wanted. Your wisdom. Don't push your pearls on others. Don't force your advice. Make sure the person you are giving the advice to is actually ready to listen. This applies to faith sharing, but it also applies to everything else. Don't push your pearls. The thing that got me the most about when I listened to that during the week was about parenting and what it means as a parent. Quite often I will push my pearls on my children. They need to hear what I have to say because, after all, I have an awful lot of life experience on them and they would benefit. But quite often they don't necessarily want to hear. I need to hear that word. Don't push. Don't push my advice. Don't give advice where it's not wanted. This week, I think this is probably the hardest word. The hardest of all of them, and yet it's the most fulfilling. It's the most life-giving. It follows on directly from last week. And some of you could probably read this one. You probably know this one without even having a look in the Bible. I'm not telling you know exactly what it is now, but when I start reading, you'll be like, ah, yeah, I know that one. You can recite it with me. And it's ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. For which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So that first bit, the ask, seek, knock passage, right? I'm sure for some of you that have been to church for a while, you've probably heard this spoken on a few times. And so I've got thoughts about what it might be, what it brought up for me as I was reading it. But I want to know what it's brought up for you. What sort of things have you been taught about this passage in the past? Yeah, it's always, it takes a little while for people to warm up. Someone's got to break the ice. Persistence is important. Just keep going. Until you get an answer of some sort. Yes. Persistence is important. And it definitely does have that feel, like it's definitely a persistent, ongoing feel to all of those words. What other things? What was that, Denise? James picks up on that, doesn't he? Where he says, if you didn't ask, that's why you didn't receive. So you have to ask. Anything else? God's ready. God's readiness to give, whether it's opening the door and giving or whether it's just giving because we've asked. His ability to help us to put it where when we're looking, when we're seeking. Helping us to find it. Nothing else. Isn't it funny? I must have gone in different circles. Because neither service picked up on this one. The one that jumped into my mind first, like the promise. Oh, the last service they did talk about the promise of God. But the promise. If you ask, you'll get it. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. Like, it's a given. All you have to do is ask. If you didn't ask, you can't complain you didn't get it. So there's almost this, what I've been taught about this is it's been put together with these other two passages. They also come from Matthew. So again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by the Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Or what about this one? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So my mind automatically jumps to those sort of promises alongside this one. And I think it's because I've heard messages around that stuff. I've heard messages around, all you need to do is ask and God will give you what you ask for. There's a song that comes to mind when I think of that by Janis Joplin. Does anyone know what the song is? Yes. Oh Lord. No, I won't sing it, sorry. Won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz or a diamond ring or a night on the town? And I know there's another one that I can't think of. You know, it's almost like we can come to God and we can ask Him. But if it doesn't happen, if we ask Him to heal someone we love, or we ask Him for something else that's really important, what happens to you? Did you not ask right? Or seek or knock? Did you knock on the wrong door? Like, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? Or, I didn't have enough faith. The reason why this person wasn't healed is because there was some speck in me that said, I don't know if God can do this. You know, maybe it's because I prayed, God, if your will be done, which is kind of a doubt thing. The pain that has been caused to people because of those thoughts and those feelings and that theology is horrific. I don't think Jesus is saying, name it and claim it. I don't think Jesus is saying, if you just ask and ask the right way with enough faith that you'll just get it. Jesus is saying something quite different. So this comes directly after what Glenn has just talked about. Comes directly after the Sermon on the Mount. It's like the closing bracket. It's the bit that wraps it all up. And you know how I know that? Because of the very last line. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And he starts the Sermon on the Mount. What I'm about to say to you sums up the law and the prophets. So it's kind of, Matthew's kind of made it so it bookends it. So we know that everything that happens in between, everything that Glenn has talked about, and also a lot of things that Glenn didn't talk about around anger and love for enemies and giving to the needy and all that sort of stuff, that all comes under this same sort of thing. So this passage isn't talking about just ask and you'll get it. Not in the sense that I've just talked about. Not in the sense of asking for a Mercedes Benz and getting it. But it's actually talking about what our state of mind might have been at the end of the sermon. If you're anything like me over the last few weeks, you've been challenged a lot by what Glenn has had to say. By what Glenn revealed Jesus was saying about forgiveness and about worry and about judging and about dealing with your stuff. And there's a part of me that thinks, I can't do it well enough. I'm not good enough to be able to pull this off. I still give unwanted advice to my children. I still see people and judge them. And sometimes even think, oh, I'm glad I'm not them. I still want to tell people where they're going wrong. I don't do enough of dealing with my stuff. Because I'm not strong enough. The challenge in all of this, Jesus was well aware of how this was going to impact people. So maybe, just maybe, what he was saying was, in the midst of that, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, Jesus is saying, you're not alone. It's okay that you can't do it, that you're not strong enough, because God is. Maybe the things that we need to be asking for, maybe what Jesus is challenging us to ask for is not the things that we would like or we want, but actually the one thing we need, which is an ability to do His work, an ability to be the person that He made us to be. We so often look at prayer as a shopping list. God, I need this stuff done, and most of it's important. Most of what we pray for is very important. It really is a need. But God thinks that all this stuff He talked about in the Sermon on the Mount is more important. As Glenn said last week, that this series that we've been working on will help your relationships. If you are able to approach someone in the ways that we've talked about over the last few weeks, not judging them and forgiving them and dealing with our stuff first, then our relationships with our husbands, our wives, our children, our friends, our work colleagues will benefit. They will see a change in us, and they will know that they are respected and they are loved. We will see a change in this church of the way people interact with each other. We will see a change in the way people have grown in this church, because they will have spent some time with God dealing with this stuff. See, prayer isn't about changing the world around us. Prayer is about changing us. Changing the way we see the world, the way we see ourselves. This prayer, what God is asking us to ask for, is to get stronger and better at interacting with other people. Which, if you're anything like me, it's hard work. It's hard work to forgive someone, especially when they've done something horrific to you. And for some of us, it's awfully hard work to work on ourselves, because all we see is the stuff that happened in the past, and we see shame and pain and all the things we've done wrong. We just live in that place. What Jesus is saying is, I release you from that. Ask God and He will release you from that pain. See, I think one of the greatest things with prayer isn't about us changing the world around us. It's about changing us, God doing a work in us. I won't go there. Also at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, just to reinforce all this, Jesus starts the sermon with this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus started this sermon with something that completely turned the world on its head. He said, it's not, success isn't measured in the way you want to measure it. It's not measured in finances and friends and all of this stuff. It's not measured in power. It's measured in how you relate to others. Are you meek? Are you loving? Are you a peacemaker? How well do you relate to the world around you? That's what we've been working on the last few weeks. But prayer is about something else. Prayer is about relationship. It is about relationship with each other. It's about building that and enabling us to get better at it. But primarily, prayer starts with a relationship with God. Have you ever had a friend? I hope you've had at least one. There is one thing that you have to do to be able to really call them a friend. Isn't that right? There has to be someone you can trust. You can trust with anything. Maybe not anything. There is always something we hold back, isn't there? But to know that you can trust this person with anything, you have to make a leap, don't you? You have to trust them with something. You have to trust them and think, oh, I hope this person doesn't share this with the world. I hope this person doesn't berate me for this, or they don't shame me with this. I hope they don't think less of me. I hope they just hold my heart gently. I hope they just look after me and love me still. And when you take that leap of faith and you trust that person and then they honour you with it, and they maintain that trust, and they still respect you, and that they help you work through it, that is how you know you've got a friend, isn't it? That is the person you want to spend, I was going to say the rest of your life with, but that's, well, yes. Hopefully the person you spend the rest of your life with is like that, someone you've trusted. But that is someone that becomes a true friend, isn't it? God is saying that He is the one that we can trust with anything. What we have done, who we have been, whatever it is, doesn't matter to God. He loves us and cares for us anyway. The reason why He's asking us to ask and seek and knock is He wants us to come with our heart's longings. He wants us to come to Him with our pain and our torment. He wants us to come to Him with everything that we are. He's saying to us, we can trust Him. He won't let us down. He won't betray us. He won't give us a rock instead of a loaf of bread. He won't give us a snake instead of a fish. Whatever that fish looks like, I'm trying to work out how that can be a trick. Unless maybe the fish is an eel or a catfish. He won't do that. He won't betray our trust and just run around and tell the whole world, oh, you'll never guess what this person's done. We can trust Him in a way we can't trust anyone else. So to keep on, as Anne said before, is about this. Keep on building that relationship. Keep on trusting. Keep on talking to God about our heart's desires. Because He is trustworthy. So prayer is all about relationships, relationships with each other, relationships with God. This whole passage is about relationships. I think it's in my reading this week, in one of the commentaries I read, I don't know who the person he was talking about. Maybe one of you will, way smarter people than me. But he was talking about this guy called William Temple. And what he said was, as I pray, coincidences happen. Things just start happening. When I stop praying, can you guess the other half? Coincidences stop happening. And I wonder if that is how God answers our prayer. Sometimes he answers it the way we expect. Sometimes he answers it because he's way wiser than we are. He knows what we need. And so he sets up these little coincidences, things that change the world around us. But he also changes us. We come to prayer not to convince God to do what we want. We don't come to prayer asking for a Mercedes-Benz. We come to prayer to build a relationship with God. And as we pray, as we listen, as we hear what he has to say, he changes us. He opens our eyes to what he is doing. He changes our ability to deal with the people around us. That is why prayer is so dangerous. That's why this passage is so dangerous. Because maybe, just maybe, the answer to our prayer is that God changes us, helps us to see the world just a little bit differently, helps us to see the other person, just a little bit more like a human. Maybe helps us to see the circumstances around us just a little bit more the way he sees it. Just imagine if all of our prayers were answered exactly the way we wanted. Just imagine I said yes to my children every time they asked. Where would our world be? There would be, has anyone seen Bruce Almighty? When he said yes to all prayers on his little email program, and the world just fell apart. But I think just as much, if God stepped in and changed this world on the spot, exactly the way it's supposed to be, I don't think we could deal with it. A part of us being ready for the kingdom, being here fully and complete, is in this conversation with God and him working in us. This passage of the Sermon on the Mount is about healthy relationships. Healthy relationships with each other and with God. My mantra is relationships are key wherever I am. I don't always do it well, but relationships are super important for anything we do. If you're in sales, you know that better than I do. And a relationship with God is more important than any others. And prayer builds that. Will you please pray with me? Lord, as we've been walking through your words on the Sermon on the Mount, just a few of them, we couldn't help but look at it and say, I can't do that. I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough. It's too hard to love that person when they've done that to me. It's too hard to forgive myself from what I've done in the past. It's too hard not to tell, give that person the advice that they dearly need. It's too hard to deal with my stuff. God, we ask you to help us, to give us the strength to be the people we need to be, to give us the strength to do these things we've been challenged to do and found wanting. Lord, help us to be your people. Help us to build better relationships with the people around us, to trust people more, to be more trustworthy. Help us to trust you more and your work in our lives. Help us to grow. Help us to know the life that only you can bring, because we have trusted you more. Lord, I thank you for this. Amen.